Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to look at verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Hey, that's neat what's said there. But what it's talking about is our being neatly placed in the body of Christ. We were placed there by baptism into the body of Christ. Now, there is a literal body of Christ that we have been baptized into. And being baptized into the body of Christ, it brings us all into the place where we're one. We've been made to drink in that one self-same Spirit. Like we say the phrase sometimes, well, we're all of one blood, aren't we? Well, we would want to make the phrase and say, we're all born of the same Spirit. We're all baptized into the body by one Spirit. And that one Spirit is the same Spirit then is in all of us that are saved and born of God. I'm really thankful tonight to know in the depths of my heart that I'm just a member of this body of Christ. And we're members in a body that there are countless, no doubt, millions that have been in this body, that are in Jesus Christ. I'm thinking down from the time that Jesus then came and brought the gospel. And the gospel had been preached. And the souls that had been redeemed. And it should be thought then that everyone is brought into the body of Christ. If we're His, then we're in His body. Now tonight I would think that if we're all in the body of Christ, what a difference that should make in a whole lot of ways. Then in our life and our relationship. Now, if we think then in the realm of having needs or having our needs met, you know, I believe that in the body of Christ, we should be able to find that every need is met somehow, that every need is met some way. God meeting the needs for your life, God meeting the needs for His church, God working then through this body. God working to supply. God working to bring us all into that place where He wants us all also to participate. The body of Christ, you have to participate. It's not just something that's idle, something laying on the shelf or something. No, we're in Christ and we are participating in Him and His body. And therefore, we have all of these things so freely given to us. And we don't want to take them for granted. Like you know, we have 9 gifts of the Spirit. All of these have been given, and we should have the benefit of all of them. Now, let me just make a statement. If you aren't doing your part, and I'm going to say, if you're not praying through to receive your gift from God, that can affect other people. Because your gift should be helping others. What gift is given to us for ourselves? I don't know any gift that's given to us for ourselves. They're not given to us personally to say, oh, that's my gift. No, that's just a gift of God that works in you. It's His gift. It's working in you. And it should be working for the benefit of the body of Christ. So we want to think on that realm that we're brought into this body then, baptized, all made to drink into this one self-same Spirit. That puts us in the place then where all of us should be wanting to be used. Could it be that one of us really don't like the place where God has put us? We don't like what God has put in our life, what He would want to work in us that would be a benefit to the body of Christ? If one of us drags our feet, we're going to hinder someone else along with ourselves. Because someone else may need what has been manifest through your gift of God. Now, if we think of that and think in the light of what Paul is really teaching us about the body of Christ, each one of these things then will come to importance. So he gave us all of these illustrations that go on down, and illustrations like, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand. A body is not like that, is it? The body of Christ is not like the foot. It's saying, well, if I'm not the hand, I don't want to be in this thing. It's like someone saying, well, look, if I can't be the general, I'm not going to be in this army. It's like people wanting sometimes maybe to push their own thoughts or their own ways. Hey, we're brought into this body. We're brought into it. We're placed in it neatly of the Lord. You're right where He wants you to be. And if you would only do what He wants you to do right here, right now, right where you are in the body of Christ, some wonderful things would happen because of you minding God, of you yielding up your life, letting God work in you and work through you. So He wants to work through everyone. He doesn't want a body missing a hand. He doesn't want a body missing a foot. He doesn't want a body then in any manner that is lame, unable to function. The body of Christ is not like that. The body of Christ, then, is the place where we should look and say, great needs are met through the body of Christ. How do we know? Well, there's a lot of things would help us to know and to understand. How about when we're healed? We receive that through the body of Christ, don't we? We receive it by faith. We receive it by the laying on of hands. Well, if we're receiving and the gift is there and we're being blessed to meet that need in our life, it's sure better than going to the doctor for it, isn't it? Sure better in every way as far as we're concerned. But in each gift, it's the same. We need the manifestation. And if the manifestation is not there, then we're missing something. So we don't want gifts minus one. We don't want gifts minus two, right? No, we want nine gifts. Are we being selfish? Well, some other people need one, don't they? God has gifts all that are needed, you know, for around this world. And each one of us should know it's important that we have the gifts of God working. Okay, now let's follow this a little bit further. And we're looking at verse 27. Still in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now are ye the body of Christ and members in particular. Do you like that verse of Scripture now? That's talking to us. In 1,000 years we'll be the body of Christ. Does that sound right? In 1,000 years we'll be the body of Christ? No. Now. When is now? Right now. Now. It's happened. We are. We're in the body of Christ. Now we are the body of Christ. And we are members in particular. We can be identified in the body. Members in particular. We're not people who are just like roustabouts. That's what they used to call certain class of men who worked in the oil field. In other words, they were laborers and they would do anything they had to do. So there's an old greasy job over here. Hey, they worked on that. If there were somewhere else, they went to work. They were just a roustabout. They worked at everything. But we're members. We're members in particular. And our place in the body of Christ is important to the body of Christ. We fill a role here. And if one of us is lazy, we don't pray, we don't seek God, we don't concern ourselves about it, we don't put our heart and mind to think that we are made apart, and we're ever going to be dwarfed, if I might use the word, made little by lack of the manifestation of the body of Christ moving. So in this, we have the gifts. The gifts are in the body of Christ. That's where He gave them. He didn't give them to sinners. Now, if we think of being a member of the body of Christ, and a member in particular, that should help us then to realize there's something that God wants in particular for you to be doing. Something that He Himself then wants done and accomplished and you're a vessel that is chosen of God in some manner for God to use in some way in the work of God in the body of Christ. We should all be busy. I believe a church ought to be a busy place. Do you believe the church ought to be a busy place? I believe the church ought to be an active place. I believe the church ought to always be on top, on fire. Do you believe that? Am I exaggerating? Am I just thinking big when I say that?
No, I
think this is what God wants, you know, for His church. He wants His church to be all that He planned and purposed for the church to be. And the church to do all the kind of things and works that God would want a church to do. We should all want to be, as a member in the body of Christ, as a member in particular. We could narrow that down and isolate that so you would understand what I'm saying. If you're a Sunday school teacher and you're weekly teaching a class of little children the Bible and the things of God and filling their little hearts with knowledge and understanding of the things of God and causing them, you know, to know about the Lord, aren't you a member then in particular? Wouldn't a Sunday school member then, someone who is teaching a Sunday school class, wouldn't they then be somebody we could say, no, there's a member in particular doing something that we can identify and say. But then there may be others that we might look and say, what does that guy do? What does that guy do? Well, what does that woman do? That's not our calling to try to see what everybody else is doing. And maybe sometimes where we have the problem is we're not looking to see what's our calling and what we should be doing. Oh, it's nicer to look at the other guy. There's that person called the other guy. We need to think tonight, if we would, in our heart, that we for ourselves have to see how much God longs to use every one of His vessels. Everyone who's made a part of this body of Christ, members now of the body of Christ, but members in particular. That would kind of make me to question, are there some members that are not members in particular? It doesn't answer that question. We should be. So, can you identify what God is really doing with you in your life? Is there a definite something? Is there some kind of a definite call or leading of God to some things then that are very particular, identifiable, that you have found that God has opened a door? Well, it's the realm. How do you find it? How did you get there, Bruce, to the prison? How did you get there? Did I send you? I didn't send you. Well, then how did you go? Didn't you have to have me to send you? Did you have to ask me if you could go over there? You just wound up over there. How many years? 20 years. Boy, that's a long time to be in jail, bros. I mean, we think about a ministry. Well, I've gone over there a few times with him. Seems to do it like a pro, you know, like he knows what he's doing. Well, I think by 20 years, the Holy Spirit's had a lot of time to teach him what he's doing and to be able to do it. He found his place in the body of Christ. That's what he found. That's what it is. Somebody said it's a prison ministry. Yeah, it is, but it's a ministry that he found, and it's a ministry, and it's a part of the body of Christ at work. Reaching out to prisoners, should they be reached? Someone said, you shouldn't want to reach those. Why do you want to reach those guys for? Hey, they're all locked up over there. Hey, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus, don't they? Well, there's all of these identifiable things that we could look at and see, and each one of us should find a place, one way or another, the Holy Spirit putting you in the service of the Lord to where your life is being used as a part of the body of Christ. So it's important. So others have sought out and prayed and sought out, God, what would you have me to do? That have found then that the Lord did have a plan and did have a purpose. Now, thinking of the body of Christ, let's jump up a verse to verse 26. And whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it. or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you like that, don't you? Now, you think of what that verse of Scripture has said to us. If one member of this body now is suffering, then we're all suffering. Now, somebody said, well, I'm not sick. It's not me. Why does it involve me? Because you and the person that is sick are both part of the being members of the body of Christ. We're one together. One together in the Spirit. And therefore, if one of us suffer, then all of us are suffering. So if one gift is lacking, we may all be suffering. But one thing we want to understand, that suffering that we would face then just brings us to the point and the place where we find ourselves many times, we need to really pray for that person. Brings us to the point to realize that we should be doing something. Hey, the sick are sick. And we shouldn't be saying to the sick, why don't you pray? We should be saying to the sick, we're praying for you. If we are praying for you as we ought to pray for you, then we will expect that what we're doing is doing the right thing, and we're doing it as a body. It's the functioning of the body of Christ. And so, if one member in the body is rejoicing, my, some great good thing, some greater good fortune has somehow come to one of us, we should all be able to rejoice in it and thank God that it's happened, and it's happened in us or to us or for us in this realm of the body of Christ, that we're blessed. If one of us get blessed, it's a blessing that seems to take hold then for all of us. We're all blessed by it in some manner. So let's be thankful for what the Lord is saying. If one member is suffering, and we've had one member, or two members, or three, or sometimes four or five at a time, they'd have been suffering from some kind of illness. So we want to help them. After all, we're one with them. We're one with them in the body. We want to help them. We want to help them get well. So it's a place, it's really a place for faith, people who have faith, people whom God has given faith, people who have, really an anointing on them to pray and to pray a prayer of faith, praying for the sick, pray one for another, pray as a group, pray until we see deliverance, pray until God answers. We should all have a place, feeling deep in our heart, there's a responsibility for us to function to helping others. So it's your place, it's my place. We have to take that. So it's a body. It's not just a body of people. It's the body of Christ. So is there one member suffering? When isn't there it seeming like one member suffering? One gets sick, hey, and gets well, another gets sick. There's a lot of times through life that if you've never been sick, well, you're sure fortunate. But I'll tell you this, if you really get sick, I want everybody to pray for you. You want the body of Christ to function. For there, in the body of Christ, where the gifts of the Spirit really work, and out from there runs this or comes this anointing and comes out, through our vessel out, through our working, through our laying hands on the sick, we find then there's help and there's deliverance. Because we're working together as a body, we want to put everything we have into it. So that none of us lack. None of us should lack. There is provisions made to meet every need that we have in the Lord. There's provisions made for us that we can have the spiritual things that we need. Can we say amen to that? We need these spiritual things, don't we? We need the power. We need the unction. We need the anointing flowing. We need it flowing, don't we? We need it flowing. We need it moving. You know, this is one of the reasons why we're always talking about a revival. It's like saying, boy, step on it, boy. Just put your foot on the pedal and put it on the floor. Hey, let's go. You get the feeling to say, we need to move. We need to move with God. We need to let go and stir our hearts and press our way and do what we're called to do. Be what we're called to be. And I believe that when all is right, when everybody's in their place, when all the body functions, I believe every need would be met in the flock. So we live in times like these. Seems like good times, but yet we're living at a time when there's such a fight all the time in the air. There's such a warfare going on. And you may not always be aware until it starts wearing you and working to wear us out. To wear out the saints, to just wear us out. Pressures from hell that seems to want to pressure you and put you down. Wear you down to where you say, oh my, I've had enough. Why am I fighting? We should be willing to fight. The Bible said to fight the good fight of faith. Paul said he fought a good fight. He surely went for years, but in the process. Hey, look at what he went through to fight a good fight. Look at how many beatings he took fighting a good fight. It was a fight. When he said he fought a good fight, what he meant to say was this then, I guess if we were to see it, is this. I went through all of these things in the process of doing this work of God and putting up a good fight that I could stay on the field and do it. I have fought a good fight. I have wrestled with the beast at Ephesus. He talked to us and plainly told us how many beatings he took. You know, the stonings, the whipping post, the clubbing, you know, the being in the sea cast out, shipwrecked, and the things that were there, and all of the perils that he was found in again and again. But God brought him through them all. But God delivered him through all of those troubles and perils. God brought him forth. Sure, he had a lot of scars on his body, but he won a lot of souls. Can you say amen? Did we need a man like that in the body of Christ? Well, we always kind of look to him as Gentiles, don't we? He's the chief apostle to the Gentiles. Hey, his ministry was to us and for us. And we benefit and we derive from what he did and what he taught. And we're ever looking at the things which he did teach us. So let's be thankful that in the body of Christ is all of this in the past of our body, in the past of our body, the body of Christ. What great men were there? Well, I believe there's some great men in the body of Christ today. Do you believe that? And it's not a matter to judge who is a great man or who is a lesser great man. We're not in that business. But I believe that God has messengers whom God has surely dispatched for great works in the world, and we should be thankful in our hearts. But you, as a person, you've got to see that the body is not functioning right unless you are. It's not functioning perfect if you are like a flat tire. Car doesn't run right on four tires. When one goes flat, it affects you, doesn't it? And if you're not careful, it can send you off the road to a crash. But deep down inside, you as a person have a place. And that place is well given to us in the body of Christ. And I want you to know tonight, it's important that we all function. It's important. Somebody said, well, we're not that big a church that we need to all function, are we? It is the size of a church. If there's only two, they both need to function. If two gathered together in the name of the Lord, he said he would be in the presence. It can function then. Then it is the body of Christ. It may seem small. It's not how big it is. It's how effective it is. My, it's not just that we run, but that we run the race that's set before us. It's the realm, you know, that we put ourselves in, that we're willing now in the yielding and the giving of ourselves in committing ourselves to the Lord for his service. So it's a beautiful experience to work for God. Years of experience will only tell you, this gets better. It probably doesn't change. It just gets richer to you. But I look back when I started, and my, how rich this was. How wonderful it was. Why did God do the things He did when I didn't seem to be in the Lord long enough for God to do it? Why was He using me? Why was He stirring something in me? Why was He doing those things? He wanted my functioning in the body of Christ to be there because a lot of other people have benefited greatly from it. So it's like that in our life. There's something produced. So I want us to understand then, if we would only let the Lord fully have His way, every member could really function, couldn't they? Well, are we glad to see some members really functioning right now in these days, trying to reach a group of people that really need the gospel and need God's help? Oh, this makes me feel good in my heart that some folks have really put their heart out there. They found a niche. Hey, they found there's something they could do for Jesus. Something in the body. What some folks would like me to do or preachers to do is appoint you a number. Well, your number 707. It give you a number, and that's your place. We're too used to that. You got any numbers in your life? Yeah, I still remember that number I had when I went in the military. Yeah, I had them dog tags around my neck, you know what I mean, and carrying it around with a number and my name on it and my blood type on it, you know? Hey, we're not a number in the body of Christ. We're a member, not a number. We don't function like we do. So we have a social security number. My, they want to use that for everything, don't they? Oh my, they want to tag us with a number. Somehow, maybe they wanted to keep track of all of us. Maybe the government is loving and kind, and Uncle Sam really wanted to know where you lived. He sure did. And most of his interest was in that we paid our dues. Oh, don't be nasty and call them taxes. They're dues. You owe that to your government. Amen? Why are you shaking your heads the wrong way? Come on, body. Let's shake off. They're dues. We owe this. Well, if nobody paid taxes, we wouldn't have any government. Maybe that was the way it was meant to be. Maybe we would got along better, but nevertheless, the way it could be is not the way it went. Somehow we did come around to that place. But the body of Christ, we don't pay taxes, do we? When we give tithe to the Lord, are we paying a tax? We're giving what? A cheerful giving of a gift unto God and to God's work. That's voluntary, isn't it? The old law was pretty rigid. The Jews under the law were not giving their tithe to the Lord. They were paying it. It was exacted in the law what they had to give. And boy, they bellyached a lot about it. It wasn't easy, they thought. Why should we have to do that? Well, they had that big glorious temple and it had to be supported. And they had all of those Levites that were working and the ministry and all, and it was to go that God says, bring all these things into the storehouse that there would be meat in my house. Well, it was giving. Some people don't see it as giving. But God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know that? Now, do you believe that God loves you? Well, does He love you because you're a cheerful giver? Well, Brother Neely, what are you bringing this up for? Well, just bringing up the Word. We're in the place, and you know the body of Christ supports itself. We don't go to the government and ask for a handout to run the church, do we? Somebody said they wouldn't want us to. Well, we wouldn't want them to run over and ask for a handful from us either. Would we? No, there's a lot of people down there that would like to be able to reach out and say, let's tax the church. Hey, that's the last big pie we haven't tried. My, we might like that pie. We might find that they got a lot more than we think. You know, a lot of men have been in that realm where they thought this would be a great thing to do. But God hasn't let them do it. God hasn't let them do it. And I don't think that God would be about to let them do it. Well, let's think about our work. Our work is important. And so we bear in our mind that we're in this place where the church is really supported, not by outsiders. It's not by people who don't want to give. It's the generosity of God's people that make it possible. We're the benefactors, aren't we? We're the ones that set in out of the rain and out of the storm in a warm church, a clean church. Hey, we have this place, and we're in charge here. You know, as God's people, this is our place, isn't it? We should be thankful. And we all have this. It's a functioning hall for the gospel of the Lord Jesus, where we all can work together. We can worship God together. We can praise and magnify His name. And we can take care that we can do service to help one another as the body of Christ. Am I saying that strong enough now? You think that's true? You like it? Is it okay with what God is doing? Is His way fine? You like His way? It's an amazing thing with God. You can't quite figure out why He'd ask you to do something in this order. He said, give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Give, and it'll be given to you. Then giving don't cost you nothing. Then giving doesn't cost you anything. Give, right? So you give, and what happens in return? God turns to give back to you in ways you don't see and you don't know. Oh, thank God for His marvelous ways. Well, we're looking and examining more and more. We can see with our eyes what years with God have done. And sometimes we look at some old photographs. And we could see that some of those times when we were in Bible school. You folks who had a chance to go to Bible school, that was a blessing for you. That was a blessing for you. And one of these days, God will bring another crop up. But I thank God. We were looking many times, you know, at some of those old photographs. And here, you know, was like a picture of the old serving counter down in Mass Avenue. And my, it was stretched across about almost as far as the opening here. And they're just stacked up with bread. Like you talk about daily bread. You could eat daily bread for months off of what was out there on the table. There was so much. So much. Things came in such abundance. We remembered one time going and picking up a load of stuff that was given to the school down in New York State. And coming home with smoke off the back tires where every once in a while you'd hit a bump. And in the top of the little old fenders were riding on the tires, bound down and burned. You see the smoke coming. Well, to get all that stuff and get it home. And there's like a trailer load of stuff. Everywhere you would look, God would always open and make a way and open another door. If one shut, He'd open another. And you know, we look back at all of those years, they were years of harvest and blessing. God's faithfulness. And it caused great things to be done in helping many. And we look back and say, where are all the people that went to Bible school? You don't know where all those people are. I know one that's in the grave. He's died. Well, we would say, we don't know where everybody is tonight. But one thing we do know, a lot of those folks were trained up, and they're right here in this ministry or in one of our churches. It's a good thing, then, wasn't it? It was a work. It was a labor. Well, we are thankful for all the benefit that we have from that. So what I'm saying to us tonight is a pulling together and a working together. We're a body. You just don't do a lot of these things alone. It's something that you do as a group of people dedicated to God and the purpose of God. There's another little story here in the Scripture that gives you a view of working and laboring. And we find this one in Ephesians 4. And God's Word speaking expressly to us about our place and talking to us about walking. How do we walk worthy? Walking worthy. Saints of God, we should be able to feel in our hearts that we are worthy of this walk with God and of this vocation wherein He called us to work. We should feel we're worthy here now. It's a worthy thing. It's a worthy work. Being worthy of what God has called us to do. Are you worthy? Are you sure you're worthy? We should consider ourselves to be worthy. So he spoke that in verse 1 by saying, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Vocation meaning the thing that God has called you to do. If God has called you to pastor, you're a pastor. If God has called you, you know, as a Sunday school teacher, you're a Sunday school teacher. But whatever God has given us to do, we should be in the realm where we're living and walking worthy of that calling. So we can't live corrupt and do a righteous and a holy work. That don't go together. So we walk and we want to walk worthy. Well, we're looking at the church and the work of God. And he speaks a little further down in this fourth chapter to the 11th verse and bringing this to light to us. When he talked about God adding to us and giving, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, this is the gift of Christ. This is not talking particularly about a spiritual gift like the nine gifts. Hey, these are ministerial gifts of God. We should walk worthy of the Lord, yes. But here he's saying to us that, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. With every gift, there's a measure of grace that enables you to do what that gift was given to you for, to fulfill it. So walking worthy is important, but having now a gift in our life, a ministering gift in our life, we want to be able to go on knowing that God gives grace. Paul talked about the measure of grace that God gave him. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, how he spoke about the abundance of grace, that the grace was in him and it caused him to work. And it put such a zeal in his heart to work and to labor. And he talked about it in saying, it wasn't me then that was working. It was the grace of God that was working in him. And that grace of God, if it worked that strong in his life and in his calling, then that's exactly what you and I need for ours, right? For our life and for our calling, we need a great abundance of grace. God can give you an abundance of grace. Did you ever ask for an abundance of grace? You said, God, give me grace. The Bible talks about an abundance of grace. Something that God gives freely and God will give in abundance. And we preachers who preach this gospel, we need abundance of grace. We need an abundance of grace. And I want each one of us to be in a place where we're looking and expecting that God will give us an abundance of grace to do what we are called to do. Can you say amen to that? Well, if that's the way God works, that's bound to bring results. Talking about these gifts, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, these are all ministering gifts, and they're all needed. And there's these gifts given of God. They have a high calling, you know, of ministering and ministering to the body of Christ, ministering to the people of God in the flock, ministering to those who are brought into the church. There's a great work. And it describes that work for us. Down in verse 12. Look at this carefully and think about what it's saying. It'll help you. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is probably one of the weightiest little messages in those two verses of Scripture that we could find. They are weighty, and they're weighty in speaking unto us who are called of God. What is our function? What is our purpose? For the perfecting of the saints. The saints are to be perfected by these gifts, helping them. So the work of the ministry is to perfect the saints, to bring them to a realm where their life is perfected. Perfected and brought into the proper relationship with God, wherein they too one day can become fruitful vessels. But this is the purpose that He has given now for these gifts in verse 11. Those five ministering gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now there is a work, and it's called the work of the ministry. It's a work in the body of Christ. And who are the ministries? Who are the people? Well, it's the ministry of the body of Christ. It's the ministry of those now who are called, chosen to certain places and positions. All of this is there. All of this function is there. And so let's think then that God is teaching us here how we have a part and what we should be accomplishing. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Are we here? Are we arriving? Are we here and are we arriving? Are we? Are we arriving to this place that He speaks of here? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's a great place, isn't it? You ought to arrive there. That's what we're wanting to arrive at. The ministry should really function and the ministry should really work. That the people of God would come into the place of unity then in faith and of knowledge. Knowledge of the Son of God. Knowledge of Christ. Unto a perfect man. That's a pretty important place, isn't it? So what about that in our own hearts and our own lives tonight? Isn't it where we want to arrive? Do we want to go farther down this road? Do you want to be used greater? Do you want this body of Christ, which we are members of then, to fully function? To fully function. To function as it should fully in the midst, that we may all be caught up more and more working and laboring and doing the will of God, that we may win many souls to the Lord. We may help many make it. Many make it because someone took an interest in them. Many people make it because preachers will help them. Many make it because there are many on fire saints of God in the church who get right out there to work and labor and help people and help them in turning to the Lord and help them after they've turned to the Lord, that they may then gradually see them growing up, being perfected of the Lord. Everybody ought to be nourishing somebody. Everybody ought to be nourishing somebody. Well, there are a lot of times I've talked to people and, well, they thought it was a great thing when they found somebody who was interested in the Lord. But then they saw someone turn to the Lord, and then pretty soon they didn't want anything to do with it. Ah, they're just a drag to me all the time. It just takes too much of my time to work with them. You see, there's a member that doesn't want to function. Doesn't see that's our place. That's our place. We're here to help people. We're here to help people spiritually. We're here to help them find the Lord and to have the grace of God and the love of God. Is that true? Is that what we're here for? Hey, got to work with them. How long has it taken you to grow up in the Lord? Did it take you a little while? Someone said, I never thought I'd make it. I never thought I'd make it. Well, many a time I've looked at folks as to say what the Lord told me when I started out. He said, I'll give you a people you won't know by any means what to do with. But you pray for them. You work with them. You pray for them. I'll show you what to do for them. He said, you'll help many of them, but you won't help them all. Some folks that you may not seem to find any way, no matter what you do, to help them. Well, I never got any more of an answer from God to say what I should do with them that I couldn't help. I just realized there were those that you could help and to help them. We're a body. Let's work and labor together that we might reach a lot of people for Jesus. That we may do all that we have to do to reach souls. There's that sermon that keeps coming back to my mind many times. You know, I preached to you not so long ago about how the anointing breaks every yoke. We should want every yoke to be broken. Should we? We want how many yokes? Every yoke.